7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So the Ravens are favorite in 15 out of the 17 games in the 2025 season, Ed Norris. 15 out of 17.
15.
Yes. Is that, you know, hard to believe, or do you think they should be favored in all of them?
I don't think anybody's favored in all games. No, I
don't
think they are. I think the Chiefs might be this year. But, I mean, I don't think it's outrageous at all, actually. I mean, I think the people who are doing this or saying this are seeing the same things we're seeing. It's like the best roster in football, going through the schedule and, you know, taking into account things like, you know, short weeks, travel games, things like that. Makes sense to me, honestly. I could see them being favored. Doesn't mean they're going to win them all, but they should be favored in them.
You are the betting expert on the show, Jeremy. Does that surprise you?
The only two I could see them being underdogs, and one of them's week one. I mean, you're at Buffalo. You got to give them some respect. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, with them being underdogs, I'd be willing to bet you any amount of money them being underdogs is under 3 points in both situations. And because this is week one, that's why you have to favor the Bills being at home. Like, there's no question here. But I'll say this, I would not be shocked if they were favored in every single game the rest of the way if Lamar stays healthy. I mean, that's the key factor, because I've been saying it for 2 years now. I'll say it again this year. They're the best team in football. Let's see what happens. Because you look at the talent you have, there's absolutely no reason that you shouldn't come in and be favored in every game, except for the fact that you face the two other opponents that you have in the AFC on the road, right? Buffalo on the road. Yeah. I mean, obviously Kansas City. So it's I don't know. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but I fully expected them to be favored in the rest of the games. And it just should tell you how much they should dominate this division. They will be favored in Cincinnati, more than likely.
Yeah.
And again, when we saying it now is one thing. If you're missing players when you get closer,
right.
If maybe they get somebody back or they make a trade, like, then all bets are off. But it's nice to look at this thing because it kind of tells you where Vegas thinks your team should be.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Do you see them winning all 15 of those games?
No. I mean, it never really happens that way. Because you know what happens? This team should be, in my opinion, win over like 13 to 14 games without a doubt. They're that good, and it wouldn't shock me to see them win more if they're healthy. But the bottom line becomes, like, as you're looking at who they're going to face, when they're going to face them, all those things that matter. But when Vegas is telling you they're favored in 15 of those games, it's telling you they believe they are one of the best teams in football. And yes, I do think they should win 13 to 14 games this year easily.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I think this team could be the best team in the regular season in the National Football League. They could be what the
what they have been.
Yeah, maybe even by record, because they weren't by record last year. Mm-hmm. They were 2 years ago. I believe by record they could be that. I think they're that good. I think the only question I have, my question for the Baltimore Ravens is not if they'll get to the postseason. Please don't tell me about injuries. We all know about injuries, so throw that out the window. It's not if they get to the postseason, Ed. It's what will they do in the postseason.
And where are they playing?
Yeah.
Where are they playing? Do we get the games at home again?
I think they'll be the best team in the regular season. So my answer is yes. However, I'm going to throw you something that back at you. It shouldn't matter.
I'll catch it and throw it right back at you.
It shouldn't matter.
I agree with you. Now, who are you going to throw it at? Throw it at Ed.
Hot potato. Yeah, I think they'll have home field, but I don't think it should matter with them.
Well, that's just why week one, and if you start looking at some of the tiebreakers and things you have, why this looms large and how important the first game of the season is. Because if you're expecting these teams to be good, they're going to be around each other. And if you finish with the same record, that's the tiebreaker over, are we going to Buffalo? Or are we staying home? Are you going to Kansas City? Or are you staying home? Because, I mean, there'll be another surprise or two in the AFC, but those are the three teams we're looking at right now.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens, once again, so much talent for this football team on offense. I think Connor Allen, the one who put this on Twitter, on X, I should say, even said they made a outstanding defense and even better in the offseason, which I agree with them.
They did.
It's funny how people are saying that the defense was outstanding after the way it started last year.
But yeah, but I think they're being fair because it started badly and then it really turned around.
Oh, I agree with you. You know, I think it's outstanding, but I'm glad they somebody's watching.
Right. I agree with that. I think it's good because I think it's very fair to say that when, you know, they look at what happened. It started off badly and then ended up, you know, having one of the best defense in the league, you know, second half of the season. But just a few tweaks, you know, Darius Washington moving to safety and Kyle Hamilton's role changed. And some things changed. Dean Pease coming in. Maybe he had an influence on, you know, on war. So I don't know what happened.
Dean Pease was the defensive MVP.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you, Dean, for saving the season. Zach did nothing.
I just
so stupid.
I like starting Jeremy up. Dean Pease was the defensive MVP, and the real MVP of the NFL was in Buffalo.
See, yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't choose violence. I did for some guy that wrote something about David Rubenstein this morning on Twitter. I'm like, you know what? Here's your attention you get there, Chief, for saying David Rubenstein's a worse owner than Peter Angelos after a year and a half. But we did have another guy that started saying, oh, Lamar's supposed to be the best dual threat quarterback in the league. And he showed all the rushing touchdowns for other players. Uh-huh. And he goes, why isn't he on this list? And Josh Allen's up there. And I'm like, dude, if you put their numbers next to each other last year, Allen and Lamar, Allen had more rushing touchdowns and more attempts. That's it.
Because he was also their goal line running back.
Yes.
He was their goal line guy.
We didn't need that because you got Derrick Henry.
You got a Hall of Famer in the backfield. Why are you letting your quarterback be your goal line guy?
But when you're sitting here saying dual threat, it doesn't mean getting in the end zone. It should look at rushing yards. It's like talking about, yeah, what's that guy's batting average? How many home runs did he hit? Well, hey, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you talking about? How many rushing touchdowns he's got?
He's not a power hitter. He's only batting 240.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It doesn't apply.
Yeah, he's batting 240 with 25 home runs in July. 410-583-1057. That's the number. World of Stupid at 8 o'clock. Maybe that whole conversation goes into World of Stupid. But on the other side, Kirk Cousins is unhappy with how things have gone down in Atlanta. Talk about that up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan on this Hump Day Wednesday. So you guys have been watching this Netflix series, the quarterback series. Kirk Cousins has become one of the favorite characters on that because people are realizing that Kirk Cousins has a tremendous personality. Well, he's not very happy about the situation and how it took place down in Atlanta.
I wasn't expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams were going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself.
I agree with him on if you had plans anywhere, if you had any type of plans, Ed, of drafting a quarterback in the first round, it's probably should have been involved, probably should have been in the conversation during the courtship. Let me make my decision based off all the facts. As he's saying, I know Minnesota is, so if you are and they are, I may as well stay in Minnesota.
I agree with that, though. I mean, I get that they can't, you know, tip their hand and reveal everything in the business, like, you know, sports is a business. But it'd be, you know, people's lives matter too, and their careers matter. It's not just the ownership. And it just pisses me off when they kind of, you know, say, well, we can't tell. Well, why? You know, because then it's too late for me to get a job somewhere else, perhaps. You know, it's like not fair.
I mean, Jeremy, listen, it's not out of the realm of possibility, depending on how things fall, that we could take a quarterback in the first round. Give me that.
Yeah. That's where this is very fair to be upset. I mean, it's buyer's, it's signer's remorse, I guess. Like, you're signing that contract, and you're like, you're doing what now? Like, feels like you made a deal with the devil. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? You wanted a big, that's a gigantic rooster. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? you know, like, but when it comes to this, though, too, like, he had talked about being Wally Pipped and how this whole thing went. Didn't Kirk Cousins replace RG3 in 2015 when he got hurt and then RG3 didn't get that job back?
And I agree with you on that.
This is a little different.
This is a little different.
Because both guys were drafted in the same draft. This is, you're signing me, and it doesn't, I look at it too, like Kirk Cousins, if I'm coming in and I'm signing to be your quarterback, build around me, help me out.
Exactly.
Don't draft my replacement. especially in the first round.
410-583-1057, that's the number. I mean, no one knew. What was Kirk Cousins drafted in the fifth round?
It was later, wasn't it?
I thought it was fifth round.
They didn't do first and second, did they? Did they do that year? No, he was much later?
Fourth round.
Okay.
102, fourth round. So you didn't think. So RG3 can't say, well, you drafted my competition with me, because he's a fourth round pick versus a Heisman Trophy winner.
But he also got hurt and didn't get the, well, I mean, he never really played again after that. Well, he did, but we all know what that, you get what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't a starter anymore.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is there a fit, in your opinion, right now for NFL team for Kirk Cousins? Is there a team out there that could say, you know what, we could use a Kirk Cousins right now?
I think there always is.
The Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers are, I mean, they are. I mean, seriously, you're going to put all your eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket?
I would have traded for him over signing Aaron Rodgers, because I'm sure.
Me too.
I'm sure Atlanta's not asking for a lot.
You couldn't have with that contract. That contract he's got, nobody wants to take that on. I think it would be silly to, especially Jets? After the way he played. No, they got Justin Fields. I'd rather have Fields.
Okay. I'm just going through teams right now. The Giants?
No, they got a rookie quarterback that they want to see what he looks like, and they brought in Jameis Winston. I'd rather play Jameis Winston than Kirk Cousins.
The Browns?
Nope. They drafted two young quarterbacks. And they brought in Kenny Pickett. Again, like, what we saw from Kirk Cousins last year doesn't make me want to play him.
The Colts?
Nope.
The Titans?
Nope. They drafted a quarterback number one overall. The Colts, when you look at them, I mean, they're kicking the tires on Daniel Jones. And I can't believe I'd rather see Daniel Jones than Kirk Cousins.
The Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's coming off. Go look at what Kirk Cousins did last year. And if you guys didn't watch the Falcons play,
no, I know.
Like, he's been a very accurate quarterback. He was bouncing the ball to receivers. Yeah. He was throwing it 10 feet over their heads.
I think Daniel Jones is a little undervalued, because he's not a bad quarterback, and he's athletic. He can run.
The Raiders?
He can do things that, you know, people can't do.
The Raiders?
Didn't they just sign somebody?
They signed, didn't they sign Geno?
Yeah, Geno. But again, like, if you go back in, Aaron Rodgers, he's living off of his name, and that's why the Steelers signed, but you got to look at what's happened. You're hoping that he finds himself again.
That's how find himself.
Kirk Cousins, at his best, had a 5,000-yard season where he had 20 touchdown passes. Uh-huh. That's a lot of empty-ass yards there for a Washington team that was losing. And, you know, it's the old Elvis Gurr back when he was in Kansas City. God, he threw for 4,500 yards? Yeah. In the third touchdowns. And fourth quarter, he did that when his team was down 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. We were talking Ravens earlier. Trippy wants to weigh in.
Hello.
Hey, my bad. I thought I was talking. I'm texting Rashawn, but Rob, real quick before I get to the Ravens, man, your boy Baker trash, man. You the first person I thought of, because you was like, when he hit that home run, your voice kept repeating in my head. Pause. Yeah, I like Brian Baker. I like Brian Baker. Man, but look, let me ask you.
Who's your favorite Oreo, Trippy?
All right, so look, hold on, let me say this.
No. You said before we go Ravens, who your favorite Oreo?
You said who my favorite Oreo?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Brian Baker is not my favorite Oreo, but who's your favorite Oreo?
I mean, I didn't say he was your favorite. You just said you like him.
I do like him. I do like him, but I like James McCann. I do like Brian Baker. But who's your favorite Oreo?
Jackson
Holliday. Okay.
Holliday.
All right. I won't think of you when he strikes out.
All right, cool.
All right, I got better things to think about. But go ahead.
Look, what's up, Ed? My bad. Look, I want to ask real talk. I want all four of y'all, including Joe, when I hang up at that exit question, I want y'all a true answer.
Then you don't give us homework. State your business.
I got you. Look, I literally said this like the Friday before the divisional game, and Raven fans say, no, stick to the script, right? All right. Let's take a trip back down memory lane, 2019. Remember when the Titans came into town? Who threw a touchdown in that game? Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to that 3-point conversion, right? Why not run a Derrick Henry pass? I know Tom Mutton probably hate me right
Trippy,
now.
Here's the problem. The play call wasn't the problem. The execution was the problem. How about if you catch the ball, we don't have this conversation right now. We're having a conversation about play calling when one of the better tight ends in the game dropped the ball to hit him in his gut. Problem's not the play calling. Problem's the execution. We do this so often. We get on the coach for the play he called when the player didn't execute the proper play. My tight end is wide open, a step from the end zone, and the ball hit him in his gut. And here we are in July talking about we should have called a different play. Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, I agree with Trippy, man. We was in that Uber in Toronto, Rob, and you was bragging about Bron Baker the whole ride, man.
And I ain't never been in an Uber in Toronto with you bragging about Bron Baker, man. Go on. State your business.
I got the video.
You don't have a video of me.
Yeah, hey, he's so close to him, he just calls him B when he talks to us. You see what B did?
Line sacks of crap. Go ahead.
Hey, but listen, y'all was talking about Cousins, right? Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I think at this point in his career, he's just a backup quarterback. You know, I love him having, you know, as a backup.
I know of a team he could start on right now, Jeremy.
The Cowboys.
Cowboys all the way.
Yeah.
He could start on the Cowboys and be the best quarterback on the roster.
Just think about it. If they traded for him, they would have two of the worst quarterbacks that are making so much money right now.
Let's think about this, Ed. If they got him, at least he wouldn't wear a T-shirt with his own name on it.
I was going to bring that up in a second, but yes.
Yes. You already called Dak Prescott the white Kirk Cousins or Kirk Cousins the...
I think Prescott's black.
The black? Hold up. No, it was one of them saying.
Dak Prescott is the white Kirk Cousins, according to Rashawn.
No, but Dak is a better version of Kirk, though, man. But
the only thing he does better is he seasons his meat. They both suck.
All right, whatever,
man. You ever see Kirk grilling out, and that chicken looks white as hell? Yeah, look at this. He's out there in his Kohl's gear and his, what's the shoes, the New Balance shoes, mowing his lawn? His damn flannel shirt, goofy-ass Kirk Cousins. I didn't expect him to do it. Shut up. You suck. You suck. You just stole $100-some million from the Falcons. Smile. Freaking loser.
More from Jeremy and World of Stupid at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, gut punch last night at the Yard. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
And a ground ball to second. McNeil will end the game. The Mets win it 7-6 in 10.
Obviously sucks we couldn't find a way to scratch a run there. Any loss is disappointing, especially, you know, tonight was a battle back and forth like that. We didn't come out on top. I think at bats were pretty good, you know, against some good pitching, and that one big inning was awesome. It was a battle. It's baseball.
Well, that is baseball. We know that, but it doesn't have to be baseball. That was a gut punch yesterday. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Baltimore Orioles, you heard Joe say they had, a 97% chance to win that game, and they found a way to lose. You can't do that during this time of the season, Ed, when you're trying to catch up. When you fall so far behind, you're trying to catch up.
No, you can't. I mean, and this is the problem. This is the other issue. You can't do things like what happened last night. And the reality is that they're not going to be able to catch up. The hole is so deep now that they've gotten into that, you blow games like this. It's like, man, you're not going to get many opportunities to kind of pin a really good baseball team down like they did last night. You have your foot on their chest and you let them get away. And that can't happen because, the Mets are just one of many, not many, but several good teams in baseball, and you're going to face them. And if you had a chance like that, you should take that game.
Well,
because you need to win all the – you need to win like a tremendous – 2/3 of your games going forward to make a playoff bid.
And we say it all the time that momentum is next day's starting pitcher, but how much better do you feel coming out of that Braves series with a sweep and then you steal – well, you win game one, and now you're on a 4-game win streak, right, and you feel like the ball's – you lose that game in the way you lose it. I know we had talked about when they scored 8 runs early. I think this game hurts more than that one. You still had a lot of baseball left to play. And as you pointed out, you bring in Baker, you didn't even have a chance to get somebody ready. I'd have had somebody fall down and fake an injury or something, fake a heart attack at first base. Let's go. Do something. I mean, because we got to get a pitcher ready.
It's the same one.
Elizabeth. Oh, never mind. I'm okay.
I'm coming. Yeah. That's right.
Some gamesmanship. Or Brian Baker should have went, hey, this isn't working. I can't hear. I don't think, yeah, because he didn't have it, clearly.
So my question to you all, you two and people listening, is this the worst loss of the season? Jeremy, you alluded to the 8-run game and situations like that, but this one, you're at home, 4-run lead, a 97% chance to win this game. Is this the worst loss of the season?
It's subjective, and the fact that it's happened right now after you just swept the Braves and you're trying to get to a certain point, I would say yes. But again, this is just what happened. This is, you ask me this a week from now, and maybe I won't say the same thing, but blowing an 8-run lead after the second inning, yeah, it's embarrassing because you're spotted 8, but you still got to get 7 more innings of to give an opportunity to a team to score.
They lost 24-2 to the Reds.
Well, there's that. Who else scored? Somebody else scored 20 on them, didn't they? Or no, they dropped 20 on someone.
Oh, 19-6 Red Sox.
Yeah.
How about that?
No, I still don't like.
How about the Rays up, 8-0, lose 12-8?
See, that's the one that I'm not as bothered by.
Really?
Well,
that one bothers me a lot.
Because you had an early lead and they did nothing afterwards. Yeah. Like, we're going to sit here and talk about the pitching
giving
it up.
8-run lead, though.
Where did the hitters go? But I'm saying you still have 7 innings of baseball.
Yes, it was. I did after that. Yes.
To me, this, I don't know if this is the worst loss of the year. But if you're asking me to compartmentalize, to isolate that loss in Tampa and this one's worse. You had a 4-run lead, you're at home, and you have the best part of your bullpen coming in the game.
Yeah.
That's the worst loss of the year to me. You had, like you said, your starting pitch didn't last long in the first game. It's so many other factors to that. But being at home, the way it was stacked in your favor.
Well, against a bad road team, too. I mean, they're a good baseball team. Yeah. They're a bad road team. Yeah. They have 53 wins. They have 20 wins on the road out of 53.
Well, the other thing with what you're talking about, too, Ed, with those big, the 20-something whatever loss, the 19 runs given up, they don't bother me as much as – you look at those games going, damn, that was embarrassing. But you get to move on the next day, and what are they doing? Once you're down a certain amount of runs – you're not putting your best foot forward. Hey, we need somebody to eat up some innings. Or somebody's getting beat up out there, and you're like, tough luck, bud.
Right.
We need you to get through this. I don't care if you have to face 10 batters. Keep pitching. Or you bring in your position players, and all bets are off then because most of those guys just get annihilated.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Want to hear from you. Is this the worst loss of the year for the Baltimore Orioles? And again, for me, it is. They've had some tough losses. And you mentioned the
24-2.
Yeah, those are bad losses. But the timing of things, Jeremy talked about coming off of a sweep on the road, coming home against a team that has a history of not being good on the road. You had an opportunity. And they squandered it. This is, to me, a worse loss than the one we talked about down in Tampa. This is worse than me.
They were home against the Reds when they got trounced.
Yeah, they were. I remember that loss. I just think this one, to me, is a worse loss.
Because of where you're at and what you're chasing at this point.
Yeah, where you are all right now, how important this is. I mean, you could shake off that Reds loss. This one right now, I'm not saying you can't shake it off, but it's a little tougher.
Yeah. I know. I get what you're saying. The Mets are a much better team than the Reds. And, that to lose to the Mets or the Dodgers or, the Cubs, it's like, okay.
Yeah, but
to lose to the Reds home.
Even the good teams.
April?
April.
Yeah. That's the timing of the game that I'm talking about. That's an April loss.
Yeah.
This is your July. And you need to you had 9 games under 500 going into this one. You just came off a road sweep, and you have the lead, and you have the best part of your bullpen in front of you. That's why that game against Cincinnati was out of hand early.
Yeah, this past weekend was a preview of my World Series, the Braves and the Orioles.
Was that you picked?
Hold on, let me check to see what the odds are.
They are the two most disappointing teams.
God. You know, it's funny you say that, Ed. I had that conversation with someone over the weekend. This is a battle of the two most disappointing teams in baseball. And they at first they were like, I don't know, you think so? We're like, absolutely it is.
Hold on, let me check. Yes. And by the way, what we're talking
about.
Both
playoff teams last year.
Yeah.
What we're talking about with what just happened last night, there is recency bias that comes in because everything feels worse immediately afterwards, and giving it time for those wounds to heal. It's the one thing that I love about baseball is that you can have a sorry ass game and you get to come back the next day. I'm sorry, there's just something about blowing a game late that just it sits with you for a while.
Yep. And I think that's why the Tampa loss isn't worse than this one, because you blew that game early. You know what I mean? Yeah. That game was blown early. This one right here, you're in the eighth inning. You don't lose games. As bad as this team has been this year, they don't lose games after the eighth inning. Or going into the eighth inning, this is when they win games. This is winning time for them.
Remember that game in Tampa, though? Like, they scored 8 runs in the second inning. And everybody's like, man, the pitching blew it. What happened to the bats? You couldn't scratch out another damn run along the way? You go 7 scoreless innings after having an 8-run lead? Like, come on, man.
410-583-1057. That's the number I want to hear from you. Is this the worst Orioles loss of the 2025 season? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Was last night the worst Orioles loss of the 2025 season? Let's go out to the phone lines. Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
What's good, Rob? Jeremy Egg. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, Rob, I think, you know, look, you're only as good as your last game. We come off of a sweep. We're looking decent against a very good team, and boom, the polar bear takes some yard. We've had some embarrassing ones this year, though, throwing position players into pitch and so on, but it ain't looking good, bud. And in closing, like y'all talked about, I mean, we were losing these games in a week easier part of the schedule, right? If I'm correct, now we're getting into the tougher part of the schedule. This might keep happening, fellas. But I appreciate the call.
Thank you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Wayne in Denton. What's up, Wayne?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Morning.
Hey, look, this is just my thought, and I'm going to hang up. You know, first of all, I think we brought Kittredge in one batter too late. That's one thing. And then, you know, I've been playing the game a long time. Look, you got your 2-3-4 hitter up with a ghost runner on second base. You know, if it's a tie ball game, I say you go ahead and let your two hitter swing away. What happened to the small ball? Move that runner over and get him in.
Well, let's just go back. Thought. Let's have go back. Day, let's go back to to Brian Baker. He's gone. Mm-hmm. Brian Baker, when he was pulled from the game, threw 15 pitches. How do you bring Kittredge in one batter too late?
He's
got to warm up.
That's why I said I would fake a heart attack.
Baker threw 15 pitches total. It wasn't a long inning. It's not like he was out there for 20-something pitches laboring. No, he gave that up in a hurry. You're warming him up. You had something, Joe?
Yeah, do you think he was tipping pitches?
Someone else said that.
Yeah, because Kevin Brown said it too, because they replayed Lindor going up to Alonso and whispering something to him.
Yeah.
There's a texter that said that the loss is on Tony Mancelino because he didn't take Baker out after they were talking to each other. Like, it's not like he's omnipotent and knows that they're talking to each other.
Number one, the man threw 15 pitches. The next guy has to warm up. Joe, if my outing from the bullpen was 15 pitches, how many pitches into that outing do I start the bullpen cranking up?
I don't know, man. That's good for you.
15 pitches total. What is... So Jeremy, do I put Baker in and say, hey, listen, Kittredge, warm up just in case he sucks?
Yeah. No, because then you end up dry humping one of your relief pitchers. When you get them up and they warm up, and then you sit them back down, and then you warm them up again, and they don't get in the game, it's just like them pitching.
When someone whispering to another player, I mean, first of all, you don't know what this is. It could actually be a ploy, which would make sense, because there's all kinds of deception in sports, and baseball in particular.
Or it could be.
You could just walk up and say, hey, you know, what are you doing after the game? Yeah. You just make believe we're talking about this. Hey, you don't know what they're talking about.
Well, it could be. I'm the manager, and I don't have the advantage of watching television like you, so I don't even see them whispering to one another.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking at my guy.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I'm not watching TV like you are. Maybe that's what it is. I didn't see them whispering to one another. James in Hanover. What's up, James?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
When I watched last night's game, I will say I think it's the worst loss of the season. This is what I say.
Felt like it.
Yesterday was what the Orioles could be, and then it showed what the Orioles were. You saw a good young starting pitcher have a good strong start outing, and then you see, like, the inning when they scored 4 runs, nobody played hero ball. Each batter passed it on to the next batter, how good teams do. Nobody tried to overextend. Nobody's swinging for the fences. And then you see what the Orioles are. You see Laureano get picked off at third. You see Brian Baker get there and fall apart. And then we can't score in the 10th. That's what the Orioles are, but you also saw what they could be. And that's all I got to say. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you. What do you guys think about that, with bunting the ghost runner over the bottom of the 10th inning, down one?
I'm always fine with that because then you're a ground ball, sack fly, depending on where you hit it, mm-hmm. should be able to get him in. But how many times have we seen as well strikeout, pop up, ground out? You know, like we've seen those things happen mm-hmm. so many times. For a team that doesn't hit with runners in scoring position all that well, I'm moving the runner over if I know all I need is one run to win or one run to tie. Yeah. I try to extend it.
I'm with you because I just think the ghost runner, I don't like the ghost runner anyway, but since it's the game now, move him over. I mean, just move him over because, as you say, anything gets him in. I mean, not anything except an infield hit. But, I mean, just, you know, you can get him anything in the outfield. A fly ball. A hit gets him in, obviously. But, I mean, a fly out gets him in.
I often said the only time I bunt that ghost runner over, if I'm the home team and I held you scoreless in the top of the inning. And it's a tie game. At that point, I don't want to keep this game going. I'm going for the win. I'm going for the win. I wouldn't bunt him over last night. The only time, and I've said it, and I'm stick with it. The only time I'm butting that ghost runner over is if I held the Mets scoreless in the top of the 10th. Now I'm bunting them over because I got a chance to win the game. I'm not bunting them over to tie. I'm not. I mean, playing for the tie. I'm playing for the win.
I'm trying to extend the game. But again, I don't have an issue with your thought process. It's weird for me liking to be a guy that's aggressive.
Right.
And I would be willing to lay it up in that situation just to extend the game.
If I'm down one or more, I'm playing for the big inning. Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. It was a gut-wrenching loss, you know, considering we still kind of in the hunt. But I still have to say that 22-2 drubbing by Cincinnati, I mean, that was like a little league game, man, when they call it. That still sticks with me, man.
What does it matter, though?
It doesn't.
It's one loss.
In April.
Yeah.
And you never – Mike, when did they have a chance to win that game other than the beginning?
But just to be a major league team to get blown out.
I'm not worried about blowing out. It's just like, to me, that doesn't hurt. I knew that game was over long. How many position players did they have pitching in that
game? I'd have to go back and look at it.
I think there's a couple of them in that game.
Once you get down a certain amount and it's a certain point in the game, you're going to go, I don't want to waste any of my bullpen for the rest of the series. So you're going to throw out the guy that you would least likely to put out in any situation.
Who do we do that against? The Rays.
Yeah.
Remember, they were up against us, up six or whatever. We came back, and the game got out of hand. They start putting position players in.
Everybody does it. So I don't know why, like, if the game, like you said, if one team ends up pulling away and they're up a ton, and you're going, man, I don't know if we can get back in this, why are you going to waste anything of value in that game?
You said Mateo and Sanchez pitched in that game. I knew it was two position players. And you scored a ton of runs against them. That, to me, I don't worry about that loss. Last night, I worry about that loss. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Cordell Woodland joins us at 8:30, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we got a couple different stories, a few that we're going to get to. I don't know if you guys saw the fight on the golf course yesterday.
Nope.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Do you know who the guy was?
Yes.
I can't wait to tell you guys. Yeah, be careful who you pack a fight with.
You never know.
I mean, he did the play-by-play and beat this dude's ass. I'll tell you the story.
It's hilarious.
Also, some scumbag. I'm a McDonald's guy. Somebody stole Ronald McDonald from a McDonald's in a full-blown McNapping. It was a McKidnap. We talk about it next in World Stupid.